What do you see? I know some of you are in a very awkward angle to actually catch what they're trying to portray. But what do you see for those who can see? It's an alphabet. K, that's right. Give them a hand. They were told on the way here to do what they're supposed to do. So thank you. The artistic director is not me, them. So I was asking God, so what is it that's missing that you want us to talk about today? And then God says, the seeing we've been talking about, S-E-E-C, there's a missing letter, K. Seek. Seek. People want to see, we all want to see, but we cannot just stop at wanting to see God. So what they were trying to show you is some of us, we're trying to see God from where we are. We've seen God at different angle. But that's all. There is more to it. We cannot stand still at that position. Yeah, I see God. We cannot always see from one position. And we talked about repositioning last week. That if you can't see God like Zacchaeus, we got to climb the sycamore tree or whatever tree that you have. But the whole idea was reposition yourself so that you can catch hold of the vision of God. And when you see God, and if you see God, what do you do? What do I do? Is that all? I see God. Enjoy that glory. Is that all? So while in the prayer time, now, you must understand I was praying in tongues all the time. It wasn't words. And so when God communicated, it was very clear. When you see God, God is saying that, hey, our people here, we can't just see God. That's not enough. It's not a one-time event. It's not a one-time deal. But it's a continuous, ongoing process. And so, it was very interesting when God says there's a missing letter K in your seeing. And the message that came that night was, again, nothing unfamiliar to all of us. We recite all the time, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. Matthew 6 verse 33. And so, if you are taking notes, make sure you put your C plus a K so that it's seek to complete our series on seeing. Unless when we go back today and God say you're not done, we're going to continue. Otherwise, next week we'll be going into hearing God. So the title of the message today, if you're taking note, is the missing K. The missing K. So K, then I was asking God, what about the K? Why is it so evidently in visual that God, let me see the alphabet K. And the Lord responded, K represent two things. One, kinesthetic. Kinesthetic. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, but seek you first. And that word seek is a verb. It's an active mode. It is not passive. It is ongoing. A message, I like it. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concern will be met. Steep your life in God reality. Meaning to say, in his presence, in his Shekinah glory, in God. Now let's read also verses 6 in message 14 and 15. 14 and 15. Today I'm going to refer a lot to the version message because I was reading different version and we're all very familiar with different version. But when I started reading the version of message, it just jumped on me because those were the words that came off besides praying in tongues. Those were the words that came out in my spirit. And I thought, oh, such on point. This is what God wants to say. So 14 and 15 says that just be there. Excuse me if you, I have to like stop, cough, sneeze, or blank out a bit. Just bear with me with that shortcoming for today. He says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God. Am I reading the right thing? I'm sorry. 14 to 15. I'm seriously, pray for me. I'm a bit blank up here. In prayer. Okay, never mind. Never mind about that. Just be there. That's from verse 5, just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. And so in the car, as I was preparing this, I was just curious, you know, our curiosity. I just asked my children, and said, what do you understand when I say a quest? Because to me, seek or seeking is a quest. Right? It's a quest. So what do you understand when I say a quest? And so Ashton says, quiz, mom. Quiz. Quest is a quiz. I say, yeah, but not quite complete. Because when you are in a quest, you're searching, right? For an answer. And so Krista said, it's a journey. No, Ned says, it's a mission, mom. And then Krista, I asked Krista and Ashton separately. I asked the bigger girl separately. And Krista's was the first question, first answer. She says, it's a journey with a mission. I say, I love that. On point. A journey with a mission. Her passion is writing. So that's the gift of words. Say, a journey with a mission. I say, true. Because a quest is a journey. A quest is searching. And Ash say, it's a search for an answer. And so as I put together, my understanding of a quest is a continuous process. It's kinesthetic. And when we talk about kinesthetic, we talk about, sorry, can someone give me another stand? We talk about movement. We talk about physical activities. We talk about hands-on movement with a series of movements and deliberate agenda to search out the answer or attain a target. That's Selena's definition, okay? So, it's very specific hunt. We're not going around looking aimlessly, but we have a deliberate agenda when you're in the quest. And my quest, my life quest, is to stay simple in the Lord. Meaning to say, if I have a plenty, I enjoy. If I have lack, I still praise God. And that's my theme for my life. The quest is simplicity. Just stay simple. Don't take offense. If there's any offense, throw it off. Just praise God. Stay simple. What's your quest in life? And so it's eagerly looking for an answer. Eagerly looking. And here the subject again, we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. Bartimaeus says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He has no physical eyesight, but he's crying out to God and say, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. But here God is saying, yes, you are crying out for the past few weeks. God, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see your Shekinah glory. I want to see you. But what do? You don't stop there. It's a quest. It's a continuous journey to search out, because there is no end in knowing our God. Number two, we'll come back to number one. Number two, the second point is knowing God. The K, first is kinesthetic. Two is knowing. And so when you see there's a vision, but between the vision, you stand here and you see that target and that vision. Between here and there is a gap. Between us and the vision of God, there is a gap. You don't just want to see, right? You want to take hold. You want to be immersed in the presence of God. So from here to there, or from here to there, as the analogy, we want to move towards that vision, and that is a journey. And that process, that journey is our quest. And so God is saying to us today that many of us want to see Him and many of us has already seen Him, but He said that is not good enough because I want you to seek me out. Are you hearing me in your spirit? Seek me out. God is saying, seek me out. And so, one, kinesthetic is movement and is ongoing. And if you want the correct definition in Latin, I think it's called propiagiano or something like that. And it does mean that a series of muscle movement that's going to strain your muscle, move your muscle. That's kinesthetic. And some of you cannot listen to me because you are not auditory learners. So you can't sit here and just listen. But if you are kinesthetic learners, you would like games and movement. And you would enjoy last week because you're moving around. Because I have four kids and I homeschool them. And all four of them have different learning style and different temperament. So I cannot cookie cut and then say, I teach Ashley number one that way. Done. The rest, three, no need to think how to teach them. Just do the same thing. I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Because number two came, she was a kinesthetic learner. She was not auditory. And then number three and then number four. All so different. And so some of us are very kinesthetic, but God says it is kinesthetic. When you want to seek me out, you cannot stand still. You got to be moving. So A, there's two parts to kinesthetic, not eight, Edward. There's two parts. A is effort. Now, Matthew 19-33, because of time, we're just going to highlight certain things referring to message again. Matthew chapter 6, 19-33, I'm going to read just only what I highlighted because of time, but please do mark it out the entire week, would you? I urge you, beseech you to read the book of Matthew chapter 6, different versions. All right? He says here, in 22 and 23, it says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you leave squinted eye in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you end up hating the other. Adoration of one fits contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. I wanted to add in my own. You can't worship God and problems at the same time. Because I know some of us are going through very difficult times. But when you worship God, it should dispel all your worries. When our spirit collide with God's spirit, that spells worship. So when you are looking at Christ, you cannot be worrying. Because you're seeing God. Are you with me? And God is bigger than all our problems. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more Him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? I did not. I promise you. Because I fast a lot when I was growing up in my teenage years. Every day looking in the mirror, I'm like, God, why am I so short? Why am I so short? Because everybody asks me, why are you so short? Some of you know, my answer to my friends, my very blunt answer. One day when I see God, I'll tell you why I'm so short, because I'm going to ask Him why He made me so short. So here, I wish I knew God then. I didn't know God. I was 12, you see. And so here it says that even by fasting, you will not grow any taller. And I have come to make peace with God at my height, at 4 feet 10 inches, under 5. That's very short for Malaysian as well. And so I hate standing next to Travis because I always have to... All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashion, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. I wanted to put up a photo I took in Australia many, many years ago in a tulip farm. And I was just so blown away by the colors of the tulips. I'm like, one day I want to go to Holland. But that is the creation of God. There's a yellow, purple, red, pink, all sorts of tulips. It looks so unreal, but it was real. I was like standing in the middle of the tulip farm. So when I read this part, I always think of that tulip farm. But it's more than just a tulip farm. It talks about wildflowers. They never prim or shop. Now, for you all shopaholics. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. Now, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do this best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fast over these things, but you know both God and how he works. You and I know God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with you. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Not just things, but hard things. So kinesthetic requires effort. It requires that we do something. It begins where we are. Just now we read in the earlier verses that all you have to do, you don't have to look at someone else and see that level or that level. But what God is trying to get us to is spiritual maturity. In the book of Philippians, it says that the basic thing is Christ. So that Christ be formed in us. And when we rise up in that spiritual maturity, this is what God wants to take us through in this quest of seeing him and knowing him. It's so that Christ may be formed in us. And you think that Christianity is all about bed of roses? No. It's about the glory of God, yes. But nowhere in the Bible tells you that you're going to cruise through without problems. In fact, if you read all, don't talk about Old Testament, even if you read the New Testament, there's a lot of suffering and tough life. But the promise of God is when you endure it all through, the joy will be with you. Just as Jesus endured the cross, he had the joy. And even as we look around in our world, nothing seems promising, but everything is so bleak. But our hope, our eternal hope, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ is formed in us, all other things become secondary. And that is the quest to know God and to make him known. And our focus here, a message, he says, just be simple. Just be honest. Just be true to yourself and get into that place with God wherever you are, whatever level you are. Don't look at another person, but if this is you, just be true and say, God, this is me. I'm struggling to see you. I'm struggling to see you past all these problems. How many of you have eye floaters? And it's annoying, right? When you have eye floaters, if you do not know what is eye floater, Google later. Not now. Google later. You said, now, it's very easy. Anything you don't know, just ask Mr. Google, right? Sometimes you don't even have, I'm talking about kinesthetic. We don't even have to go and search, right? You can ask Siri. Brian will talk. Lauren will talk, right? I don't know what kind of world we're living in. Anyway, you know, when you have eye floaters, and I was just reading about eye floaters, because someone asked me about eye floaters, and we can actually use frankincense oil, and you put it around your eye and cup it to heal. And actually, frankincense, if you look it up, it represents presence of God. I thought that's so cool. You know, actually reading up on a physical condition, but the Lord was teaching me on the spiritual significance that frankincense is the presence of God. And so when you have eye floaters, you have all these things, you cannot see clearly. It's just very irritating and annoying. So sometimes we have all these floaters in front of us and we can't catch hold of the vision of God in front. And we get to get rid of that I floaters or your whatever floaters. And so here in the message, it says that focus, when you sit down, just simply you and God, and if you're concentrating on focusing on God, that shift will be into God's presence and God and the cross and not you and your problem. And when you can get hold of that, you are on point. But it's not good enough. It has to be more, more. So kinesthetic requires energy. It doesn't just require effort. It requires energy. I have some missing notes here. See, that's why I told you last week, I never trust gadget. I don't know what happened. I must have touched delete button or something. But energy. Kinesthetic involves effort. It involves energy. Because kinesthetic refers to muscle sense, which is a bodily movement. And getting into doing with God, we will see Him and understand Him. Verses 14 and 18 in the message, it says there is a connection between what God does and what you do. Huh? What's that? We're talking about connection this year, the year of connection. But when we want to get connected with God, here He's saying there is a connection. There is a link between what you do and what God does. And He went on to say, you can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself from God's part. So on our part, we need to remember that we need to move into action. We need to go and exercise our spiritual muscles and sometimes, many times, physical muscles as well. And here what it simply say is, as simple as, if you refuse to do your part, God is saying, you deprive yourself from enjoying what I'm going to do for you. Yes, salvation is free. We can't do anything to save ourselves. It's by faith. We enter by faith. We're justified by faith. But here in this context is saying that after salvation, after you see God, what else? It's a quest. It's an ongoing journey. So if you want to enjoy the blessing of God, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have been blessed with every inheritance in the heavenly throne. And we've been marked out by the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can enjoy this every spiritual blessing from God's throne. We can. The access is free. But we must not stop short by depriving ourselves from enjoying what God has for us in this quest of knowing Him. Because God is limitless. We are limited. But God is limitless. And so we cannot just stop here and see God. We have to keep going and seek God. Are you with me? Seek God. And verse 22 and 23 in message says that your eyes are windows into your body. A very familiar phrase. Your eyes are window to your soul. And soul meaning mind and emotion. Meaning to say that our eye is very important. And when you look into someone's eye, if you are spiritually discerning, you will be able to tell what sort of person that you have met. I told you before, when I was doing my nursing in hospital, and when I was posted into the psychiatric ward, a lot of cases, it's just very sad. I have to come before God and ask for deliverance for these people. Many of these cases are not just a mere mental case that have to be popping pills in and out. And you know, when they pop pills, they walk around like zombie. And it's very sad because when I talk to them, I talk to them at eye level. And the Lord speaks because you can discern whether this is a spiritual problem or just a mental case. It's very sad. There was one girl, 17 years old. She couldn't make it for SPM. She kept failing. And she ended up in psychiatric ward. She's a sweet girl. The good thing she's not very tall. She's about my height. Because what she enjoyed doing is attention seeking. And so when she stopped popping pill, I mean, we serve medicine, right? By order, we have to. Even though I'm a Christian nurse, I can't tell the doctor, I'm not going to serve medicine. I'm going to just pray for my patient. I'll be sacked from the hospital. So I was learning to discern that it was the very early days of my ministry, learning to walk in a prophetic realm. And she would walk. And then she see me coming. She called me, because we have name tag, she called me by my Mandarin name, my Chinese name, which is Yan Xian. And she go, Yan Xian! Boom! And she fall down on the floor. And then everybody would, because what she's trying to get my, she's trying to get my attention. So that we'll rush to her, see how she is. That's all she wants. She does this to many nurses, especially those whom she think that she can bully. So after a while, I let her fall down lah. I have to harden my heart and just walk past her. Then she'll get up. Then she'll get up. But it's very sad because when I look into their eyes, the eyes tell you something else. And so one night on night duty, that was in another posting in accident and emergency, A&E. And this mental patient was wheeled into A&E. And so we will be the first nurse to check them before we send them into the ward. And I think the ward was full, and so we couldn't send them in. And so we did all the check. And then all I did was just look into the patient's eyes. But as I look, of course, I pray up. But when I look into the patient's eye, I really felt their warfare. That we clash, totally clash. And he looked at me, and he looked away. And he refused to look at me the rest of the night. And we did not have a bed for him. And so he sat in the A&E department the entire night and morning with me, refusing to look at me. And I knew why. Because we, children of God, you and I, we carry the authority. As a child of God, we carry the presence of God. Do not underestimate the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, we carry that presence. And so in the hospital, I learned my position as a child of God, especially in a psychiatric ward. I learned to discern, and the Lord trained me to look into the eyes and discern and not, I tell you, I'm very chicken one, you know, in when I was smaller. Y'all know the joke, right? When I was much younger, I'm a very, very timid girl. I would not stand up here and speak. I'm not extrovert. I'm double introvert. And I would be very scared. And hospital is a total no. But still, the Lord asked me to be a nurse. And worse still, when I went into psychiatric ward, you know, to face all these horror experiences. But then the Lord put me there for a purpose in those years to train me. And so I begin to learn, who am I? Who am I? When my eyes see God, when I seek Him out, we carry, because there's a connection, and therefore we carry that presence of God. Are you with me? So don't move around with fear. We have that authority because we carry the presence of God. So it says here, if you open your eyes, it says here, if you open your eyes wide, I know some of you have one sleek oriental eyes. You see, that's the furthest I can go, Pastor Selena. It's your spiritual eyes, okay? I'm not shooting at anybody, okay? Because even if you have one silly oriental eye, that is beautiful to the Lord because it's His creation. He drew it that way. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. So when you come seeking God and you open your spiritual eyes, Ephesians chapter 3 says that, let the eyes of my heart be enlightened. Open up. Then the light will fill you. Correct? But there is the conjunction if there. If. And if denotes a conditional clause. Right? Those of you study English in USM. I have many English teachers here. If. That is to say that it is dependent on us in this context. If you do your part, God will do his part. A certain result follows provided we do a certain thing. And back to the vision that I told you about just now, where we are holding on to our hearts, so fragile, saying, no, God, no, I'm holding on. And not looking far. Back to this verse, it says, if you leave squinted eye in greed and distrust. Because basically, when we don't surrender our heart, what we're trying to say to God, I don't trust you. Because if I trust you, right, if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to the toilet, this is very, very common with girls. Huh? If I'm going to the toilet, right, I say, Christine, can you please hold my bag? I trust her enough, right, not to dig into my bag and steal my handphone. She won't steal, because she changed her handphone every now and then. She won't steal my handphone. I'll steal my handphone, or dig into my wallet, you know, look how much I have, or my documents. No, I trust her. Now, some of you don't trust people when then you give yourself trouble, right? You take the heavy bag. My bag is very heavy, because I'm a mom, you see. I have all sorts of things inside, oils, la, this, la, that, la. And then you're trying to go into the toilet. A guy's very easy, right? You stand. But we go, right? Right? Can you imagine with this? I used to breastfeed my babies in the toilet. You say, yeah. Those days, huh? I sound very old. But 18 years ago, actually it's 18 now, there's no place to breastfeed one in Penang. No place. Really. So when I go anywhere, the only place is the toilet. And so I'll dump the bag with my husband, but I'll take my baby. And you must see her when she was a baby. She was big. She was a huge baby for a small mama. And when I go in and I need to breastfeed her, and what I have a condition or a state, it's a blessed state, where I have abundance of milk supply. Most moms say I got not enough milk. I have just too much milk. Every 3 hours, I have 12 ounces of milk. I could have donated to Milk Bank, but I don't have, we cannot find Milk Bank in Penang. Yeah. So my milk has very high pressure, and it will actually literally shoot out. Oh, this is a parenting course. It will literally shoot out. I don't need to pump. I don't need to buy electric pump. I'm so blessed, you know. Everything, I don't even need. It just come out. And so Ashlyn, baby Ashlyn, learns to drink very fast. In 5 minutes, scouting. Because you go in the toilet, and I'm not going to, you must know my training also, huh? I'm a nurse and I'm melancholy, you know. I'm a clean freak. I'm like, I can't touch left, I can't touch right, I can't sit on the toilet bowl. I got to stand and I got to hold this baby. And those days, we don't even have breastfeeding, special breastfeeding clothes, you know, just normal clothes. And you have to fumble through, and I have all sorts of ways to, because she's big, right? After a while, I don't need to do weight training then. No? I have to do weight training now because I carry babies, my bicep and tricep will firm. So I'll be like carrying her this way, that way. And I just have to maneuver through that. But that was my experience as the Lord take me through what it means to go on and release to Him. And so in this little confinement, I also learn to have my connection with God. I turn every breastfeeding time in the toilet to prayer time. It's my connection time with God. I turn every toilet time in my hospital time into connection room with God. When I don't know what to do with my patient, I don't first thing run to my doctor because they don't immediately respond to your call. I have to run to the toilet again and stand there. If the toilet's clean enough, I'll kneel there and speak to God. And so if we are going to leave squinted eye in this greed and distrust and not wanting to release, God cannot give to us. and darkness. No, when we leave squinted eyes, we can't see, right? Can we? We can't see. And when we open our eyes and suddenly light comes in, it shines through, it will be very glaring. And so we have to cultivate that time with God so that we learn to gaze into the glory of God. And here is very interesting. It says that if you lift squinted eye in greed and distrust, your body is a dung cellar. If you pull that blinds on your windows, what a dark life you are. What a dark life you will have. You know, you just got to open up the windows of your heart to see God. And so now open up that curtain. Open up that curtain. Don't leave squinted eyes and try to hold on and say, God, this is precious to me. This is precious to me. Let go. Let go. Because when you're vulnerable to God, you will not deprive yourself from the blessing of God. Number two, knowing. But seek ye first. So part one of knowing, A, the entire attention. Verse 30 to 34, God is trying to capture our attention to indicate that He's in charge so that we can learn to relax. And it speaks of timing. But first, when there's a first, there's a second, there's a final, right? But first, and so we need to learn to relax. It speaks of the timing in our journey, our quest with God, putting Him first and everything about Him as premium priority. I know we have many priorities in life. We have important things in life, but He is our premium priority. PP. Some of you say, I have so many things to do, you know. I'm very busy. Yes, we're really in a generation where, you know, every time you meet someone, how are you? Busy. Besides busy, more busy. Stress. So we need to learn what is important. Important means you need to do, but you won't die if you don't do it. Nobody will die, right? Priority is you have to do. It's more than important. But urgent means you got to do it now. But if it's an emergency, it's now. In a hospital, we say stat, S-T-A-T, stat. Now. No more delay. And so for us here, our premium priority needs to be God. It needs to be God. All other things can wait. And here it says, but seek ye first. First, the timing of our journey. And everything else will follow. He's not saying to us that our needs are not important. Because all the preceding verses that we have read, what you need to eat, what you need to wear, God stated down. It's all laid down. He lists down all we need. He's not dismissing that we don't need those stuff, right? And God is not a joy killer. He doesn't deprive us of fun. To live a complete life, we must have 5 F's. We talked about this before, right? 5 F's. We need faith. Food first. Faith. See, this is Pinangai, Joel. This is Pinangai, right? Faith. We need food. Okay. Basic lah. Food. We're going into a prayer and fasting soon. Huh? Condition your body. We need family and friends. This is so important. Just recently met someone and says that, you know, God is the most important. I say yes. And then the person shuts everything else, everybody else, cut everybody else. I say that's not biblical because God gives us family. God gives us friends. You're not a lone ranger. You don't live in this world alone. You'll eat. If you come to sports convention, you must come to my session. We're going to talk about nutrition. Yes. Fitness also. So fitness is about your exercises and proper nutrition, right? And then the last F, fun. God is not a joy killer. He's a fun God. He's a cool God. Only us, we are boring people. And we box God up. And think that this is it. that it is. That's God. Fun. So he's not dismissing what we need, but then he says there, but, B-U-T, but, not B-U-T-T, huh? B-U-T, but come right at the verse 33 to highlight to us there's a huge contrast between all this list of things that we need contrasting to what we ought to do. And what we ought to do is to seek him first and foremost. Yep. So not that it's not important, but in contrasting to seeking him, that is more important. And so he says here, he demands our entire attention right now. It's not my own words. It's in the message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Right now, some of you are saying, stop talking, I need my food now. Right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Whether you will have Hokkien Mee or Char Kway Teow later because it's getting late. No, that's not the most important thing. No delay. We respond now. And although we have heaps of to-do list. You have to-do list? All of us have to-do list. And we have hurdles of challenges, rubble of troubles. How do we get over them? If you keep looking at these hurdles, these rubbles, this list, you get overwhelmed. But if you drop everything, and this is what God is saying to us, look at me. Not look at me, look at him, huh? He's saying, look at me. Look at me first. Let's talk first. Hey, it's okay. Let's talk first. All that, I can help you. Here it says, I can help you deal with whatever hard things. Not just things, but hard things. When it comes out in the time. It talks about the timing of God. Timing of God. So first, we got to look at him. Because God is saying, do you know me? Who am I? Who am I? Look carefully. Look attentively. Know me and what I can do. So first we got to know him, and then the rest is about the timing in God. So seeing God, seeking God, there is timing in our journey as to what is to happen. If we know God, then we can trust his timing. Amen? The word steep in message. Steep your life in God reality. Steep means what? I know one word steep means very chim, huh? In Hokkien, very chim. But steep here is totally soaked in, immersed thoroughly in a liquid which is usually hot. Why would you steep a tea bag or tea leaves in cold water? You put it in hot water, right? Boiling water, not just hot, but boiling water. So steep means to put it into or immerse thoroughly in a liquid usually hot. My definition, not Merriam-Webster or Colin. To bring out the best aroma or fragrance. So if we steep ourselves in God reality, what we're going to have as a result is the fragrance of God's Shekinah glory in this place. His presence. The fragrance of his presence. You're like, huh, I can smell God. Answer is yes. But not all the time. We all have different kind of experiences. Therefore, I would say don't be afraid of challenges and troubles. The Bible encourages us not to be afraid of challenges and trouble if we know God, soak in him, and then be assured that he will walk us through in that quest of seeking him out, and that walk will be a victorious walk because Jesus has done it on the cross. Done deal. Amen? So rather than you ask, oh God, I got this heap of hurdles, I cannot run, I'm so short, I cannot jump. You know, I always fail in my school sports. I do very badly in these hurdles because I have short legs. Every time, pung, and then you will come down. So you have all these hurdles you cannot jump over. God says, let me help you. So rather we should ask God, what can I learn in this situation, in this journey? And you would see that they didn't go through immediately. They're different ones have different pauses. What can I learn about myself in this journey? What can I learn about God in this journey? What can I learn about the world around me in this journey? How can I be more effective witness and testimony for God? That should be what we should be seeking out. And B, last one, is to eliminate. Eliminate. If you want to know God, you got to eliminate. Because in that journey of seeking Him to know Him and make Him known, we got to relax. We need to let go. Verse 30 to 34 says that we need to do that. So in that quest to stay simple, in the journey to travel light, some of you pack so heavy bag when you go for traveling. And that's very silly. Because when you want to go travel, pack light. Pack light. When you travel, you will enjoy that place there. You're not going for a fashion show. You don't have to pack 30 kg of baggage. Travel light. When you go mission trip, travel light. But don't be like Kai Shen lah. Just assume people will bring things for him, okay? But travel light. So eliminate, because when we eliminate, the journey gets lighter and easier for us to walk. And when we eliminate, some of you say, what is God and what is not God? Then you eliminate, do the process of elimination. If you don't know if this is God or not God, then you do elimination. Here it says not to be preoccupied with getting, but be ready to receive from God's giving. So we cannot respond to God unless we have bare hands. Right? Unless we have bare hands. So we need to eliminate. We need to let go. So if we do not know if it's God, then you say, is this God? If it's not, throw off. Does it have eternal value? No, throw off. Is this good or is this God? If it's good, but not the best for me, in God, throw off. Temporal comfort versus eternal crown? You choose your destiny. In conclusion, I want to stress again, don't just say, God, I want to see you, but God, I want to seek more. I want to be more and more like Jesus. And we can only be more and more like Jesus if we keep seeing him and seeking him out. And let us not be stiff-necked. Now, this is a very strong word from God. Let not be stiff-necked people. Let us seek and see him. Because stiff-necked people are stubborn people. Stiff-necked people are rebellious people. They are wayward. And they will not listen. And some version call it pig-headed. In Hokkien, do now. That is stiff-headed. Jeremiah 19:10 says, they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my word, says the Lord. And judgment follows. So it is an attitude problem when we are stiff-necked. So let us not harden our hearts and ignore the voice of God, but let us be softened. And that was the prayer of Chris earlier on in 3:30 prayer. I didn't tell him what I was going to preach, but his prayer was that our hearts will be softened so that we can get hold of God in totality. I want to read you as a closure, Chris's new poem called Indeed I Am Free. Birth in the prayer room on Friday night. And I love it. Christeline wrote this, Indeed, I am free. And she's in the midst of putting music to the poem so that we can sing it. When his fire falls on me and sparks up my heart, great things do I see. When God's fire come on us. This is just the start. And although his fire burns, so strong, so vast, I'm refreshed. It quenches my thirst. But still, I shall yearn for more. And so his mighty ocean slams, exclamation mark, the door to my soul, filling me up till I overflow. No more sorrow, no more pain. No more sadness, no more shame. The blind will see, the mute will talk, the deaf will hear, the maimed will walk. All bonds will be broken, all chains shall be gone. Those who are vexed and weary will have no need to mourn. I too once was captured, my bonds were tied. I'm grateful for my Savior, for He brought me to the light. Amen. I love the prayer time because songs are birthed forth, poems are birthed forth. And so I like the first part. It says, when His fire falls on me and sparks up my heart, great things do I see. And this is just the start. It is just the start of our journey. So it's a quest of keeping going until you are brought to the light of Christ. So let us ask God to break this stiff-necked spirit within us, soften us, cleanse us, renew us, and make us ready to see Him and seek Him and His kingdom and righteousness. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time of gathering together as a family of God. And Father, we want more, so much more of You, Lord. We want to seek You out because we know that, Lord, there's so many things that are seeking us out, calling for attention, shouting, screaming, demand our attention. But Father, today we lay it down. We put aside all that we need to attend to. Right now, we give You our entire attention. Lord, we want to see You and we want to seek You, God. Take us in this quest of knowing You and make You known. Shall us rise. Let's just rise, stretch out your hand and ask the Lord to soften your heart, to open the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, to see the fullness of His beauty in this place, in your life, in my life. Jesus, we want to touch You as You've touched us. Sharabakarianda Satoruma Halasakarianda. Father, forgive us for being stiff-necked. Forgive us for not trusting You enough. Father, we ask for Your forgiveness. For we have sinned against You when we partially believe and not totally believe in You, in who You are, and the power that You demonstrate. Father, forgive us for our doubts. God, we want to be vulnerable today as we lay it down again. Reveal Yourself to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.